Good day, friends. Again, we come to you, and we are studying the book of Genesis, and we're in chapter 13. We've come to an amazing portion of Scripture. If I may be allowed to do it again, in chapter 12, we have where the God of glory appeared unto Abram and said, "Get out," and he went out not knowing whither he went. God was going to show him a land. And here you have his fervency of faith when he left his family and his country and his father's house with great promises attached to it. And he went out. He took Lot with him, his nephew, and Sarai, his wife, and what goods he had, and away he went. He came into the land of Canaan, built an altar, and pitched his tent. And these two things characterize Abram's life, the tent and the altar. When he's in fellowship with God, he has a witness for God among those among whom he lives. He's a pilgrim and a stranger living in tents. He built his altar, speaking of worship and fellowship with the God of glory, the eternal living God. This has characterized his life. And as I say, when he's out of fellowship with God, there's no mention made of a tent or of an altar. And we had in chapter 12, he manifested the fervency of his faith. He went out not knowing whither he went. God promised he'd give this land to his seed for him, after him. And he trusted God. He worshipped the Lord. Then there was a famine in the land. He went down to Egypt. The second test, he failed. Is God sufficient to meet my need, irrespective of my circumstances? And Abram, I suppose he used good sense. You and I would say he used good sense. He went down to Egypt. But he left the place of the altar. He left the place of fellowship. He went down to Egypt. The first mention made of Egypt in the Bible. It speaks of the world all the way through. Egypt speaks of the world. The world, there's no famine in the world. The world always has something to give you. Always something to satisfy the desires of your flesh. Went out to Egypt. And failing God, he failed man. You know the story in chapter 12. Now, he came out of Egypt a very, very rich man. He got two things in Egypt, and that was wealth and Hagar, an Egyptian handmaid to Sarai. We don't mark this. It's true that when he came back to Bethel, and he built his altar again, pitched his tent. He's back in fellowship with God. But now he's got something else. He brought out of Egypt some things that forevermore plagued his life. He got Hagar, and through Hagar he got Ishmael. And Ishmael and his descendants, the Arab world, have been opposed to the people of God ever since. And then we have riches, and this caused division in the family. It's an awful thing, you know. Grace had united Abram and Lot together. They came out of Ur together. They went down into the land together. They went down to Egypt together. They came back together. But now something separates them. Worldly interests, wealth, riches separate them. And we read that in verses 5 down through verse 8. In fact, it goes on down through to verse 9. And here you have the test. Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And then you have what Lot did. Let me just stop here for a moment. The test, in the midst of enemies, the Canaanite and the Perizzite, idolaters, lived in the land. And like the rest of the nations, they were given over to uncleanness, to vile affections, to a reprobate mind, as you find in Romans chapter 1. And these enemies heard the quarreling between the herdmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram. You can just see this. They're fighting among themselves. Now, don't think for one moment that they were about, that Lot had about two herdsmen and Abram had about two. When you come to the next chapter, chapter 14, I think you'll notice that Abram, what did he do? He armed 318 servants born in his own house. Born in his own house. 318 men fit for war. My word. In fact, I one day sat down and began to count up what that would mean. After Lot had departed, there would be about 2,000 in Abram's camp. Now, over here's Lot with his herds, his cattle, which he got out of Egypt. And they were fighting each other. And notice the Perizzite and the Canaanite were still in the land. And it would soon involve Abram and Lot. But you know, Abram obeyed Romans 12:18. As far as possible, live peaceably with all men. Do you remember that? Now mark Abram's victory, his generosity. Verse 8. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. We be brethren. We be brethren. Now here you have Abram as the peacemaker. You know, I think Abram had learned a lesson down there in Egypt. And that was a lesson to trust God. Lot never did learn that lesson. It was Abram's desire for the glory of God that he suggested the separation. We be brethren. We're surrounded by enemies. Boy, what a spirit. You have that, you remember, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24, I think it is. The servant of the Lord should not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and be patient, in meekness doing certain things. I say Abram had learned a lesson, and here's the humility of faith. Now listen to it. Abram could have said, in fact, I'm of the persuasion that you and I would have said this to Lot. Now look here, Lot. I'm your uncle. God didn't call you into this land. The call was to me. Now I don't want any trouble. Now you get out. You take your herds and your herdsmen, you get out of it. So you, furthermore, am I the one to whom God gave the promise that to me and my seed is going to give this land. He's promised you nothing. But as the elder of the two, you ought to go. Now get out of here. And that's the way you and I would have acted. Not the man of God. He'd already learned a lesson down in Egypt, and that lesson was to trust God. Trust God. All the generosity here of Abram, you see. We be brethren. We be brethren. I don't want the name of God to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. I don't want these Canaanites and these Perizzites to say, huh, look at kind of a God they have. They're fighting all the time. You see, as I said, he chose household peace to worldly advantage. Now, he could have taken advantage of Lot. Don't misunderstand me. He could have. And from a human viewpoint, he had the right to do that. In fact, as I said a while ago, most of us would have done that. We would have stood upon our rights. Yes, sir. He waved aside all his rights. He surrendered his rights. Waved them for the glory of God. See. Was he not the leader? Was it not to him that God had given the promise? You know, friends, if some of us would take that same spirit of Abraham to trust God, we'd be brethren. Let's not have any trouble. Let's not have any trouble. Let us not degrade the gospel of the Son of God. The world outside sees Christians fighting among themselves. I was shamed one time when I read in the very front page of the Oregonian a church was having a church split. They were having a business meeting. There were two sides. And do you know, they had two policemen sitting on the front seat to see that there was no fighting going on. Huh? I remember a church in the Midwest where it was split over personalities. And one deacon had the group upstairs, and the preacher had another group downstairs having their morning meetings, two meetings, one upstairs, one downstairs, having no fellowship the one with the other. Oh, what a disgrace to the name of Christ. I plead with you, Christians. Even though you can stand upon your rights, there's been more trouble caused by us standing on our rights than anything else. Can't we trust God? Have we learned yet to trust the Lord day by day? This man Abram, surrounded by enemies, surrounded by Canaanites and Perizzites, he chose household peace to worldly advantage. Okay, Lot, he said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go north, I'll go south. You make your choice. Now look at what Lot did. Lot took advantage of Abram's generosity. The Lots always will do that. You see, Mr. Mitchell, if I don't stand on my rights, they'll wipe their feet on me. That's right. That's right. And Lot took advantage of it. Listen to it. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. What was he looking for? Well, what does a man who's a rancher look for when he's got a lot of stock? Water. And where there's water, there's good feed. And he looked up, he lifted up his eyes, and he chose by the sight of the eye. Did you notice that? He chose by the sight of the eye. He beheld the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Did you notice? His heart was still affected by Egypt. Oh, I tell you, when Abram went down to Egypt, Lot went with him. And when you get out of the will of God, you'll drag somebody in with you too. Boy, these are lessons for us, for me. When we fail God, we drag somebody else down with us. You can't afford to fail God. And when Lot lifted up his eyes, he took advantage of Abram. Okay, if I have first choice, I'll take the well-watered plain of Jordan. There's a lot of water down there, some good feed for my stock. It's just like the land of Egypt. His heart had been affected by Egypt. And by the way, Lot never got over that. Do you know that? Lot never got over what he learned in Egypt. Be careful about failing God, because you may drag some weak brother, weak sister down with you, and you may come back to the Lord, but they may never come back to the Lord. See? That's what I mean. Into the land of Egypt, and Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against the Lord exceedingly. Now notice separation, the second step. He left his country, he left his kindred, he left his father's house. And I said in chapter 12, the very first step in a walk with God is separation. Now there's another step here, separation from his nephew, from one of the family. Your walk with God may even produce that too, separation from your family. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plain of Jordan. Listen, Lot was selfish. Affected by Egypt. Lot walked by sight. Abram walked by faith. Lot was greedy. Abram was generous. And first thing you know, Lot was living in a city, whereas Abram looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And in the end, Lot lost everything. And Abram became the heir of the world through faith. And we'll pick this up again in chapter 19 about Lot. But for the present, may I suggest this to you. Lot lost everything. He's no longer living in a tent. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next thing you find, he's in Sodom. And when you come to 19, he's the mayor of Sodom. Oh, how easy it is to step down one thing after the other. See? Like dear Peter, when you and I think of Peter failing God, we think of him cursing and swearing and saying, I don't know the Savior. But where did it start? Self-confidence. Lord, you can trust me. Do you remember that? And he slept when he should have prayed. And he followed afar off. Manifested the flesh when he chopped the fellow's ear off. Sat down with the enemies of Christ. Denied his Lord. Then the Lord picked dear Peter up. The Lord looked on Peter. He still loved Peter. You don't find anything about this man Lot. As far as we know, except for 2 Peter chapter 2, we would never have known Lot's condition in Sodom if Peter hadn't told us by the Spirit of God. That righteous man vexed his soul in Sodom. Why in the world didn't he get out of it? No, no, no. Too many things there. Too many things held him in there. But you have this question of Lot taking advantage of Abram's generosity. Now let's look at the reward. You see, God's not gonna be in your debt or my debt. Look at the reward of it, 14-18. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. And he removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. By the way, the word Hebron means communion. The word Mamre means fatness. He lived on the fatness of communion with God. But now, what I'm after is this. After Lot was gone, now God said to Abraham, verse 15, all the land which you see, north, south, east, or west, everything you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. You see, Lot chose by the sight of the eye and lost everything. Abram let God do the choosing for him. Isn't that wonderful? Lift up your eyes and look. I'm going to give you the whole business. When? After Lot was separated from him. I repeat it, this walk with God is a walk of separation unto God. You see, Lot's choice was a materialistic choice. He wanted worldly advantage, and he ended up with nothing. Abram allowed God to choose for him and see what he got. Everything you see, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed forever and everlasting. Notice in chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going to show you a land. In chapter 12, verse 7, I'm going to give it to your seed. Now in chapter 13, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your seed. And it's going to be an everlasting land for you and for your children. You see, this is how God moves. May I just suggest this? I have in mind, by the way, John chapter 9. A man born blind, they said to him in John chapter 9, who opened your eyes? A man called Jesus. Who do you think he is? Oh, he's a prophet. Then when Jesus met him outside, he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe? I that speak unto thee am he." And he worshipped. "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped. You see, the progress of revelation. Jesus to him, first of all, was a man. Then he's a prophet. Now he's a son of God worthy of worship. God doesn't just give you all the truth you have. He gives you according to your capacity to receive truth. See? So you have it here. I'm going to show you a land. I'm going to give it to your seed. Now, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed for an everlasting possession. I'm going to stop there for today. He's making another promise in verses 16 and 17, which I'm going to leave for the present. Suffice for me to say, God oftentimes brings us to the place we must choose between worldly advantage or going on with God. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Too many families have been broken up. Too many churches have been broken up because people standing on their rights. I'm glad this is in the book. Abram manifested the humility of faith. And do you think that God is going to be in Abram's debt? Abram is going to trust God. And God says, "Okay, after Lot leaves, I'm going to give you the whole thing for an everlasting possession." You can't beat God when it comes to giving. Only it causes for you and me, it calls for you and me to walk with him in simplicity of faith. Will you walk with him today? Just today? These next 24 hours, you walk with God, will you? Never mind tomorrow. Never mind the failures of yesterday. If you fail, confess them. But walk with him today. Enjoy him for yourself. And the Lord bless you for his wonderful name's sake.